This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Alhamdulillah wa salatu wa salamu ala rasulillahi wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa man walah. Welcome, dear brothers and sisters, to part 8 of our series that we titled Change of Heart. Part 8 of our series, we are speaking about the actions of the heart. And we've covered the first two sessions speaking about an introduction, and we've covered various other actions of the heart which we said are the most noble. We spoke about ikhlas, sincerity. We spoke about tawakkul, reliance upon Allah. We spoke about al-yaqeen, certainty in Allah. We spoke about khushu', humble submissiveness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And today we want to speak about something no less of a summit. When you talk about the motivators towards Allah, the motors that carry a person towards his Lord, they are three, as Shaykhul Islam Ibn Taymiyyah, he said. Primarily, the fear of Allah, hope in Allah, love of Allah, subhanahu wa ta'ala. He says the most noble of them all is the love of Allah, Jalla Jalaluhu. Because it's one of those acts of worship that is maqsoodatun li dhatiha. It is intended for what it is. In other words, the fear of Allah Almighty is only needed so far as it takes you to paradise. When you get to paradise, there is no more fear. All fear is left at the gates of Jannah. And therefore, the thing that comes into the gates of Jannah with you is the love of Allah. So this is one of the most important motivators towards Allah Almighty and one of the most powerful driving forces towards Him. The love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is that light which whoever is deprived of is plummeting within the abyss of darkness. And it is the cure which whoever is deprived of is riddled with sickness and disease. And it is the life which whoever misses out on may as well consider himself a dead man walking. The love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is what gives meaning to Iman, is what gives motivation to your limbs, is what gives you a reason to live another day in hope. That is the love of Allah Jalla Jalalu. So congratulations to those amongst you who've experienced it, and congratulations to those amongst you who've come here searching for a way to acquire it. What is the love of Allah Jalla Jalalu? What is its reality? What are the signs that a person loves his Lord? And what are the signs that Allah Almighty loves a person back? These are some of the questions that we want to share and address on this evening, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala. First of all, when you say love, we're importing this from the Arabic language. We're using the word hubb. Love is a loose and weak translation of hubb. We say hubbullah, the love of Allah. What is hubb? I don't want to spend too long defining hubb or love, because some things are just blindingly obvious. You know what it is when you experience it. What is the moon? What is the sun? What is fear? What is jealousy? These things, you know it by intuition, by experience. Love is like that. But just for the sake of completion, let us take a tour over the semantic origins of this word hubb. Where does it come from? And you will begin to see the links and what it is that we are speaking about. Some of the scholars of the Arabic language, they said that the word hubb has origins pertaining to meanings of al-luzumu wa thabat, meaning something that is fixed and remains where it is. Something that is fixed and remains where it is. That is why they refer to a camel. If somebody can turn off their phone. Had to be you, Brother Keba. Barakallah feek. Al-luzumu wa thabat, meaning something that is fixed and it stays in its place. So they describe a camel that has fallen to its knees because of illness. They say, haba al-ba'ir. Al-ba'ir, the camel, haba. Meaning it has fallen to its knees and it's going to stay there. And that is the reality of love. When it falls in a person's heart, usually it stays there and it has no desire to move. It's happy where it is. Another one of the origins of this word, hub, love, and you see these meanings are complementary. It's adding layers of understanding and appreciation to what it is we're speaking about when we eventually say the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Another one of the meanings is al-qalaq wal-ittirab, anxiety and movement. And that's why they refer to the earring which women wear as hib. Hib, you see the links between that and hub, love. Because it moves. It's not settled. يَطَّرِبْ كَأَنَّهُ قَلِقْ. And that is the reality of love. It's unsettling. Brings about usually pain and anxiety. A sense of unsettlement. الْقَلَقُ وَالْإِطْرَابِ. This is a second meaning. Another one of the meanings is الظُّهُورُ وَالْعُلُوُ. Something that is high and apparent. Something that is high and apparent. And that is why when rain falls onto the ground with intensity, you see bubbles rising to the surface, right? The Arabs, they call that hababu al-ma. Look at the word hababu al-ma, the water. Why? Because it has rise. It has risen to the top. And it's apparent for people to see it. And that's the reality of love. When a heart turns and boils with love, it rises to the top. And it becomes apparent, so everybody knows that this person is enchanted. Something's going on in his or her life. A fourth meaning, they say that it comes from the word hib. And hib, one of its meanings is a large vessel that is brimming. A large vessel that is filled to the very top. So there's no space for anything else. And again, this is also the reality of love when it is true. The heart is full with obsession towards the beloved and there is no more space. There is no more space for anything else. And I want to say something here now that you have an understanding and appreciation of this word hub that we're going to be using to describe our love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What is the name of the word that demarcates your relationship with Allah? I'm asking you, dear brothers. What is the name of your relationship with Allah? Yani your relationship with your employer is employment. Your relationship with mom and dad is called parenthood. What is the name of your relationship with Allah Jalla Jalaluhu? It's a relationship of what? Yeah, of ibadah. How do we translate ibadah, Adnan?
Sort of enslavement to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, submission.
Okay, any other translations? Good. Yeah, worship. So this really is the conventional translation, which is worship. Worship, again, does not do justice to the term ibadah. You have a relationship of ibadah with Allah. You say, yeah, I worship Allah. You worship Christ. You worship this such and such singer or pop idol. I worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. No, you want to make a big deal of what it means to be a abd of Allah, to engage in ibadah. Why? Because ibadah is at the very top of the pyramid of love. In other words, at the core of ibadah is love. What I want to do at this section of the talk is to help transform your appreciation of this term worship or ibadah. It's not just a set of ritualistic actions that you do. We bow, we prostrate, Ramadan's coming, we fast, we wear the hijab, we protect our private parts, ibadah, zakah, charity. No, when you say ibadah, this demarcates the epitome of what it means to be in love. And that's why Shaykhul Islam ibn Taymiyyah, when he talks about the levels of love and how it starts, it's quite frightening. And it ends with ibadah, worship. So he says a relationship starts off as a ilaqah. That's the first level. Translate that as a connection. When your heart has a particular inclination towards the beloved, it's a connection, a ilaqah. If that becomes a little bit more intense, you move on to level two of the relationship. May Allah protect us from harm. This is called as-sababa. As-sababa. which you can translate as a passion. So this is when the heart starts to yearn for the beloved. If that intensifies even more, you move on to the third phase of love, and this is called al-gharam. Al-gharam. Al-gharam, it means gripping love. Something that is gripping, that holds tight of you. And that's why, Dr. Akram, what do we call the one who is in debt in Arabic? Al-Madyun. Al-Ghurm, exactly. Yeah, Gharim. Gharim, because he has something that's gripping him, that's debt. The punishment of hell was described as what? As gharama. رَبَّنَا صُرِفْ عَنَّا عَذَابَ جَهَنَّمْ إِنَّ عَذَابَ كَانَ غَرَامًا. Because its punishment is gripping. So this third level of love is called gharam, meaning gripping love. So it's not even getting funny anymore, it's getting painful, right? If that continues to grow, you get to level four. What is that? Al-ishq. Al-ishq, you can call it engulfing love. And at this point, you begin to fear for the health of the lover. And if that grows, you get to level five, and that is at-tatayyum. At-tatayyum, it means infatuation, enslavement. And if that continues to spill over, you get to level number six, and that is at-ta'abbud, worship. So when you say, I worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what are you saying? I bow and I prostrate, I move and I give money for him. What are you saying when you say, I worship, I am a abd, I engage in ibadah? It means I love him so much that I find no way to express this love other than to worship him. Is this clear? You do what you do as a Muslim because of your intense love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is what ibadah is. So here you will ask me, at what point does love transfer into the department of worship? Because it's scary. It seems that you can easily slip into a place where it only belongs to Allah. At what point does love transform into worship that is only befitting of your Lord? I say, when love mixes with another component, then it becomes worship. When love mixes with something called khudu'ah, humility. When you find that your love is now infused with khudu', meaning you humble yourself to that being. You are in awe of them. You glorify them. You see yourself as nothing before them. Ah, now you have entered into the department of worship. And that is what is only befitting to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What am I trying to arrive at? Remember, when you say we are doing ibadah, taraweeh is ibadah, salah, in all of its forms is ibadah, fasting, zakah. Why are you doing that? Because of intense love, ibadah has risen to the very top. I hope I have made this clear to you as per what ibadah means and how it is only befitting of Allah Jalla Jalaluhu. So, let us move on. You may say to me, what is the ruling of loving Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? So now we're speaking about loving our Creator. It seems to be something like a supererogatory topic. It's extra. Cherry on the cake. It's ideal to love Allah. Wouldn't it be nice to love Allah? No, hold on, pause a minute. We're not talking about an ideal. We're not talking about something which would be good to have. We're talking about a religious obligation. And that is because Allah Jalla Jalaluhu said, قُلْ إِن كَانَ أَبَاؤُكُمْ, say to the people, if your parents, وَأَبْنَاؤُكُمْ, and your children, وَإِخْوَانُكُمْ, and your siblings, وَإِخْوَانُكُمْ, قُلْ إِن كَانَ أَبَاؤُكُمْ وَأَبْنَاؤُكُمْ وَإِخْوَانُكُمْ وَأَزْوَاجُكُمْ, and your spouses, وَعَشِيرَتُكُمْ, and your extended family, وَأَمْوَالٌ اِقْتَرَفْتُمُوهَا, and money that you earn, وَتِجَارَةٌ تَخْشَوْنَ كَسَادَهَا, and trade that you fear will fail, وَمَسَاكِنُ تَرْضَوْنَهَا, and homes that you love, أَحَبَّ إِلَيْكُمْ مِنَ اللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ وَجِهَادٍ فِي سَبِيلِهِ. If all of these things listed are more beloved to you than Allah and His Messenger and jihad struggling in His path, then what is the outcome? فَتَرَبَّصُوا حَتَّى يَأْتِيَ اللَّهُ بِأَمْرِهِ. Then wait until Allah executes His command. That's a threat. So we're talking about an imani obligation to love Allah above everyone and everything else. So we are very much invested in learning how to attain it. What are the signs that a Muslim truly loves Allah Jalla Jalaluhu? Since we're talking about a very lofty station, it's very easy to make the claim that we possess it. Sah? I don't think you've ever come across a Muslim who says, I don't love Allah. Everyone claims that they have love. But since we're talking about an obligation, and since we're talking about high part of the religion, we have to test these claims against a series of criteria. And I will share with you perhaps 10 of them. Now what you will notice, inshallah, is that these 10 signs of love, they are not unfamiliar to you. They are things that you can relate to. Because you have felt it when you have loved someone or something. Whether it's a spouse, a child, a parent, a job. You will notice you're familiar with all of them. You can relate to them. But we're simply going to superimpose them onto our Lord subhanahu wa ta'ala. Sign number one, remember, you are measuring yourself against these signs. Sign number one, to endure hardship with the beloved. You're willing to put up with a lot when you are going through hardship with the beloved. If you're constantly willing to throw in the towel with the person you claim to love, then it's not really true that you love that person. If you're in a job and you're constantly saying, I think I want to quit, I think I'm going to walk away, I think I'm going to apply for something else, it means you don't love the job, you're not willing to go through hardship. If you're in a relationship, you're in marriage, and you're constantly saying, you're going to get divorced, we're going to divorce, I don't think we're going to work out together, it means you're not willing to endure hardship. That's not a sign of true love. And similarly, a believer who claims love of Allah Jalla Jalaluhu will go through whatever hardship he is put in because he loves his Lord. And that's why Allah, He praised the prophets who loved Him the most by saying, as He said about Ayyub, إِنَّا وَجَدْنَاهُ صَابِرًا. We found Him patient. نِعْمَ الْعَبْدِ. What an excellent servant He was. إِنَّهُ أَوَّابٌ. He was always returning to us. Willing to go through hardship. Look at one of the poets, what he said, speaking about his lover, Abdullah ibn Dumayna. He said, لَإِنْ سَاءَنِي أَنْ نِلْتِنِي بِمَا سَاءَةٍ لَقَدْ سَاعِدْتُ أَنِّي خَطَرْتُ بِبَعْلِكِ. He said, although it pains me that you are causing me harm, but I am happy to know that I crossed your mind. Ajib. So she's causing him harm, and he knows that. And he said, but I love you so much, I'm okay because it's comforting to know that at least I crossed your mind. So if this is the type of patience that people show through the hardship that other humans show them when they are in love, what type of patience should a Muslim show to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whom when He puts you through hardship, it is only for your growth and for your betterment and for your forgiveness and your raising of your rank in Jannah. Allahu Akbar. Patience through hardship with the beloved. So when your finances plummet, when your health takes a U-turn, when something doesn't go your way, don't just throw in the towel and say, I don't think this religion is for me. I think God hates me, so khalas, I'm calling quits. La. That's not a sign of true love. Sign number two is that you belittle your efforts when pursuing the beloved. Isn't that what we do? When you are in love with someone, you never feel that you have given that person their due. Whatever you buy, however you spend, and however much you may sacrifice, you always feel that you haven't given them what they deserve. That is a sign of true love. And similarly, a Muslim who is true to his claims of love to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala never feels that he has given his Lord what he deserves. And he cannot do that. And that is why our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he would finish his salah, what would he say? What's the first thing he would say, dear brothers? Astaghfirullah. Allah, forgive me. Allah, pardon me. As if he just walked away from a sin. That is someone who loves Allah. You feel that you are always falling short towards him. Sign number three is that you never prefer anything over the beloved. You are full, even though you may be hungry. That is if you know that the person you love has eaten. And you feel safe, although you may be at the heart of a conflict zone. That is if you know that the one you love is safe and out of harm's way. As long as they are well, you are well. You put them before yourself. That is a sign of true love. And similarly, one who truly loves Allah Jalla Jalaluhu will honestly put nothing before him. And that's why Allah Jalla Jalaluhu praised the believers, inshallah, like yourselves. He said, وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا أَشَدُّ حُبًّا لِلَّهِ. And those who believe, they are more intense in their love of Allah. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. Abdullah ibn Hisham, he said once, Umar ibn al-Khattab was holding the hands of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in a gathering. This is in Sahih al-Bukhari. And Umar, he said to the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, وَالَّذِي نَفْسِي بِيَدِهِ يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ لَأَنْتَ أَحَبُّ إِلَيَّ مِنْ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ إِلَّا نَفْسِي. O Messenger of Allah, I swear I love you more than everything else. More than everything, except myself. Look how honest they were. Except myself. No, I love that more. He said to him, لَا وَالَّذِي نَفْسِي بِيَدِهِ حَتَّى أَكُونَ أَحَبَّ إِلَيْكَ مِنْ نَفْسِكَ. He said, no, I swear by the one who possesses my soul. Until I become more beloved to you than even yourself. So Umar then said, instantly, فَإِنَّهُ الْآنَ لَأَنْتَ أَحَبُّ إِلَيَّ مِنْ نَفْسِي يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ. O Messenger of Allah, you are even more beloved to me than my own self. He said, إِنَّهُ الْآنَ يَا Umar. It is now, O Umar. Meaning now your iman has become complete. So one who is true to his claims that of love, honestly puts Allah Jalla Jalla before everyone, everything else. You test that when you're behind your TV, when you're behind your PC screen, when you're alone and you get that DM, and or you get that carnal rage and your desires are riveting through your body. Who do you put first? Who do you put first? When the haram business transaction opportunity comes your way, who do you put first? That's how to test if you truly put Allah above everything else. That's sign number what? Sign number what for brothers who are writing? This is sign number three. As for sign number four, one who is in love craves those moments of privacy with the beloved. Come on, especially those brothers who are newlywed. You know that there's nothing more annoying than someone knocking on the door. Or an appointment that you'd forgotten about. Or your phone that you forgot to put on flight mode. You know, when you are in love, nothing is dearer to you than being alone with the beloved. And it can be annoying sometimes. You go to the park, they disappear. You go to a shopping mall, they disappear. So they just need some time together. That is a sign of love. We can relate to that. And similarly, no exception should a believer be towards his Lord if he claims to love him. You crave those moments of privacy with him, Jalla Jalaluhu, to be alone. You don't run away from it. Like those people who, every time they are alone, they can't hack it. They need to be on social media. They need stimulation from a third-party source. They don't like being alone. They drag their feet to salah. They just about make it in 2.5 minutes and then back to their social sphere. They need people. They need TV. They need social media. They don't know how to be alone anymore and praise Allah, pray to Him and find comfort in Him. You don't like being alone with Allah, Jalla Jalaluhu. Then how can our claims of love be complete? And that is why the beloved sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, حُبِّبَ إِلَيَّ مِن دُنْيَاكُمُ الطِّيبُ وَالنِّسَاءُ. I have been, women and perfume have been made beloved to me, he said. Women and perfume, he said, have been made dear to me. Then he said, وَجُعِلَتْ قُرَّةُ عَيْنِي فِي الصَّلَاةِ. But the comfort of my eyes has been placed in salah. That's where my true happiness is found. Yes, women and perfume, these are the two uppermost things that he loved, alayhi salatu wasalam, from dunya. He said, but what gives me true comfort? Imam Ibn al-Qayyim, he said, Qurratul Ayn, the comfort of the eye that he described the prayer with. That is a level higher than love. It makes sense. Because you may love something, but you don't find comfort in it. That's obvious, right? It could be quite a strange, toxic relationship where they just can't walk away from each other. They're always fighting, they're always jealous, they're always bickering. But there is love. It's love that causes pain, no comfort. And look at the musicians and the singers today, how they, Leona Lewis, you, I keep bleeding your love. Doesn't sound like fun. Sounds like an injury. Right? Pain is love and love is pain, as another one said. Right? Ibn al-Qayyim, he said, the coolness of the eye is higher than love. Why? Because it's something that you love and you find comfort in it. It can't harm you. It's pure serenity, pure relief, pure medicine, pure comfort. He said, that is where salah is in my life. Qurratul Ayn. So do you love those private moments with Allah? You test yourself. How do you feel when you hear the iqamah? Or when you find yourself alone? Is it an opportunity to sin? Or is it an opportunity to be alone, to glorify your Lord, where you feel as if the world has just stopped orbiting about its own axis and time has paused as you bow and prostrate and you speak to your Creator? In dua, do you feel the urge to finish it quickly? Or do you feel that it's an endless conversation because you love being in privacy with the beloved? That's sign number what? Sign number four. Sign number five. One who is in love loves the speech of the beloved. You love to hear their words. You're always citing what they said. He said this and they said that. You're always quoting them. And ya Allah, when you hear their voice, it's as if your heart begins to flutter. It's about to escape the cage of your chest. Right? We relate to this. And similarly, if your claim of love to Allah is true, you will love His kalam, His speech. And what is His speech? What is the speech of Allah Jalla Jalaluhu? The Quran is part of the kalam of Allah Jalla Jalaluhu. And that is why Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, the companion, he said that whoever wants to know if he truly loves Allah, then let him present himself to the Quran. If he loves the Quran, then he loves Allah. So you're at the surgery, you're waiting for your surname to be called out, that surname that they can never pronounce right, and then you take out your phone and you begin to recite a page or two. Because you love his kalam, you love his speech. Come on guys, you know how it's right when you get that message from, yani it's a communication in the haram, may Allah protect us, we hope it's a communication in the halal, and you go through the same message again and again and again. You've read it like 20,000 times. Why? Because you love the speech of the beloved. May Allah protect us from the prohibited. Why should that be any different to the book of Allah? Present yourself to the Quran. What's your relationship like with the book of Allah Jalla Jalalu? That's sign number what, brothers? Number five. Sign number six. Those who are in love, they are always remembering their beloved. They're always talking about them. Frequent remembrance. And that's why the Arabs, they say, Al-Muhibbu Mafduh, the one who's in love is exposed. Because you're always talking about them. You can't hide it. So until, like, you've been talking about this person so much. Is there something we need to know? Always talking about someone or something, it's an indication that you love. That's why the scholars, they say, Malik ibn Dinar, he said, Alamatul Hubbi Dawamul Dhikri, the sign of love is frequent remembrance of something. فَإِنَّ مَنْ أَحَبَّ شَيْئًا أَكْثَرَ مِنْ ذِكْرِهِ. Because when a person loves something, he speaks about it a lot. And that is why, subhanAllah, Allah Jalla Jalaluhu has obligated us to remember Him in the most difficult circumstances. When you are at war, bombs being detonated, bullets being fired, people are falling right, left, right and center. And at the heart of that conflict zone, you are expected to remember Him. Why? Because you love Him. Allah said, Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu idha laqitum fi'ah. O you who believe, when you meet a party, meaning in war, fathbutu, be firm, wadhkuru Allah kathiran, and remember Allah a lot. A lot. لَعَلَّكُمْ تُفْلِحُونَ, so that you succeed. And we're familiar with that. One of the Jahili poets, Antara ibn Shaddad, ya Sheikh Tayyib. Who was his lover? Abla. He said, in a couplet of poetry speaking about Abla, it's a famous love story in the Arab tradition. And he never married her. It was his cousin, his first cousin. But he was infatuated by her. And he said to her in his couplets of poetry, وَلَقَدْ ذَكَرْتُكِ وَالرِّمَاحُ نَوَاهِلٌ وَبِيضُ الْهِنْدِ تَقْطُرُ مِنْ دَمِي فَوَدِدْتُ تَقْبِيلَ السُّيُوفِ لِأَنَّهَا لَمَعَتْ كَبَارِقِ ثَغْرِكِ الْمُتَبَسِّمِ. Memorize that and use that for your wives, brothers. He said, I remembered you when the lances were drinking from my blood, spears. I remembered you in the middle of war when I was in combat, and the spears were drinking from my blood. And when the white Indian swords were dripping from my blood. And then he said, I wanted to kiss the swords because they shone. And when it shone, it reminded me of the beauty of your smiling mouth. I forgot to say at the beginning of the lecture, we're going to rate this lecture as PG, inshallah. So if your parents aren't with you, you'll have to raise a complaint to Sheikh Abu Bashir. So he is remembering her during war. And that's how the believer is with Allah, if he claims to love him. Always speaking about him. You don't just wait for a lecture. You don't wait to be spoken to about Allah. It just comes up because that's what lovers do. You can't hide it. It just comes up naturally. It's automatic. Ya Allah said this. La ilaha illallah. Subhanallah. Allahumma salli wa sallim ala nabiyyina Muhammad. He's coming up in your topic. But if you allow a whole gathering, a whole majlis to go by and his name is not mentioned, our love of Allah has to be called into question. That's sign number what, mashayikh? Sign number six. Sign number seven is that you have a sense of ghayrah. How do we translate ghayrah, brothers? Protective jealousy over the limits of the beloved. You don't like it when the limits of the one you love are crossed. You don't. Because the reality of love is such that your ambitions have merged with the ambitions of your beloved. And your goals and inclinations in life have disappeared and been replaced with their goals and inclinations. So when you feel that their preferences are not met, their preferences are laughed at, their limits are crossed, you get upset. No, she doesn't like that. I don't want to do that. She wouldn't like that. And why are you saying that? That doesn't please him. He wouldn't like that. Don't say that. In their presence or absence. And similarly, if our love of Allah is true, we get upset when his limits are crossed. We have a sense of ghayra, protective jealousy, to see people disobeying Allah Jalla Jalaluhu as they inhale his air and eat from his resources and use his limbs. These are from Allah, it's alone. And walk under his ceiling and walk above his earth. They get upset. No, that's haram. You shouldn't be doing that. In their merciful and gentle way, they enjoin what is good and they forbid what is evil. And where is that emanating from? Brothers, where is this emanating from? From love. From love, because you have protective jealousy over the limits of the one you love. And that's why Muslim narrates that Aisha said, وَمَا نِيلَ مِنْهُ شَيْءٌ قَطُّ فَيَنْتَقِمَ مِنْ صَاحِبِهِ إِلَّا أَنْ يُنْتَهَكَ شَيْءٌ مِنْ مَحَارِمِ اللَّهِ فَيَنْتَقِمَ لِلَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ. She said, never did the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam avenge himself when he was harmed. He never avenged himself. It was only when he saw the limits of Allah being crossed that he wanted to avenge for the sake of Allah. You don't allow the limits of Allah to be crossed. Minimally, you will walk out of that gathering. Don't sit with the people who are wasting their time in haram. That is sign number what, brothers? Seven. Sign number eight, you are so upset if you are in love when you miss out on the opportunity to draw closer to the beloved. Sorry? Maybe it's an occasion that you forgot. Maybe it's an opportunity, whatever it may be, and you really find ways to compensate. That's because you are in love. Ya Allah, I missed out on this opportunity and I could have drawn closer to him or to her or to them. And likewise is the believer who claims to love Allah Jalla Jalaluhu. He is upset when he or she misses out on opportunity to draw closer to Allah. And that is why when the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, if he would miss on his night prayer because of illness or because of travel or any other reason, how many rak'ah would he do by day? He would do 12. 12 rak'ah to compensate, as if to say, I am sorry that I missed out on this opportunity. I'll make it up by day. That's a person who is true. So you miss out on your daily portion of Quran, you make it up. On your charity, you make it up. You didn't fast your Monday or Thursday, or whatever good habit you may be in, you find a way to compensate because you are in love. Number 9, those who are truly in love, they are desperate to meet. Imagine if it was only communication by phone or by message, right? There comes a point where there needs to be a meeting. It's a craving, it's a yearning. And similarly, those who are true in their claims of love to Allah Jalla Jalaluhu, they are desperate to meet Him. And that is why Allah has reassured those believers who feel this. And He said to them, مَنْ كَانَ يَرْجُو لِقَاءَ اللَّهِ فَإِنَّ أَجَلَ اللَّهِ لَآتِ. Whoever wishes to meet Allah, then rest assured, the meeting of Allah is coming. لا إله إلا الله. من أحب لقاء الله أحب الله لقاءه ومن كره لقاء الله كره الله لقاءه. Whoever loves to meet Allah, Allah will love to meet him. And whoever hates to meet Allah, Allah will hate to meet him. Sign number 10, and I will leave you with this for this section, and that is a sign which is perhaps one of the most important to practically prove your love to the beloved. I work with the Islamic Council of Europe, as some of you know. And how many times have I seen husband and wife sat side by side and she's filing a application to separate from her husband. And he's weeping. He's on his knees. Honey, don't leave me, please. I love you. She says, what? You love me? You had 15 years, 20 years to prove to me that you love me. All I got was this lip service. No, I'm done with you. You did this and you did that. He said, but I love you. She said, you never proved that. And actions speak louder than words. Why should Allah accept any less? We love you, Ya Rab. Prove it. And that's why Allah Jalla Jalaluhu said in a key ayah here, which is what? قُلْ إِن كُنْتُمْ تُحِبُّونَ اللَّهَ فَاتَّبِعُونِي يُحْبِبِكُمُ اللَّهُ وَيَغْفِرْ لَكُمْ ذُنُوبَكُمْ. Say to the people, if you truly love Allah, then follow the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. That's if you truly love Allah, follow the Prophet. He will then love you back and He will forgive your sins. These are 10 signs to look out for. Now you may say to me, okay, I've heard those 10 signs. I am worried that it seems that my love of Allah is a work in progress. I know I do love Him, but it's not where I need it to be. And those 10 signs have shown me that I have a lot of work to do. What can I do to foster my love of Allah Jalla Jalaluhu and intensify it? Love usually has two main causes. If they are found, ideally both of them, then the circle of love and attachment is complete. The first is jamal, beauty. And the second is ijmal, meaning good treatment, favors, services, kindness, dutifulness. Jamal, beauty. We naturally have an affinity to that which is appealing to the eye. Something that looks good, whether it's a human being or whether it's scenescape, you love it just by virtue of its what? Of its beauty. And is there anything more beautiful than Allah Jalla Jalaluhu? Yani when you remember, Inna Allah Jameel, as the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, Allah is beautiful. When you remember that Prophet Yusuf Alayhi Salatu Wasalam, who was given half of what? Who was given half of all beauty, causing women to forget the pain of the incisions that they were causing into the arms when cutting with knives because of the beauty that they saw of this human being. And you remember that is just one of the many creations of Allah Jalla Jalaluhu. What then of the Creator and the beauty of the Maker Himself Jalla Jalaluhu? Imagine the happiness and the ecstasy and the joy when the veil is finally removed between those Muslims who had been worshipping Allah for 70, 80 years in the unseen, and now finally they cast their eyes on the face of the Divine, of the Majestic. a beauty and a glance that causes them to forget every other luxury and joy in Jannah. All beauty that you may experience and sense in the life of this world is but a branch of Allah, the source of all beauty. So we love people because of their beauty. He is the source of all beauty. Should he not be loved? We said we love people for what? What was number two? Ijmal, good treatment. Sometimes you say, I have no reason to love this person other than the kind treatment that they've shown me. I can't help it. This person has given me and given and given and asked about me and overwhelmed me with kindness such that I find no choice but to love them. What is more overwhelming is when you remember that all kind treatment is sourced back from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The khair that has come to you through mother and father or siblings or employer or whoever they may be, these are just different players in your life whom Allah has facilitated to bring you goodness. Is there any good treatment in your life that you have experienced that cannot be attributed back to Allah? He said, Alam taraw, don't you see? Alam taraw anna Allah sakhara lakum ma fis samawati wa ma fil ard. Don't you see how Allah has made subservient for you everything in the heavens and the earth? Wa asbagha alaykum ni'amahu zahiratan wa batina. And He has lavished His favors upon you, both the favors that you see and the ones that you don't. Think about the bread that you take from the shelf of your grocery. Any rizq provision that you take, you're only involved in a short middle phase. All of the phases before it and all of the phases after it, you have no involvement in it. That's all from Him, the source of all good treatment. Allow me to explain this. You go to Sainsbury's, you pick up a loaf of bread and you eat it. What have you done for that bread to allow it to enter your system? Look at the phases before it. Were you the one who caused the rain to come down from the heavens? Were you the one who inspired those drops of rain to seep into the soil? Were you the one who planted the seeds for that bread? Were you the one who caused the wheat to grow? Were you the harvester of that wheat? Were you the one who grinded the seeds? Were you the one who mixed the ingredients together? Were you the one who kneaded the bread, the dough? Were you the one who baked it? Were you the one who sent it to the suppliers? Were you the one who packaged it? You didn't do any of that. You just ate it. And then look at the phases after it. Were you the one who inspired the food to fall from your throat through to your esophagus and all the way down to your stomach? And were you the one who inspired your epiglottis to flap shut such that the food doesn't go down your trachea and cause you to suffocate? You didn't do any of that. Were you the one who inspired the digestive juices, the enzymes to be released from your stomach to break down the food? Were you the one who inspired the pancreas and the gallbladder and the liver to all work harmoniously to help digest the food? We didn't do any of that. Were you the one who then inspired the food to move in the form of molecules from your stomach into your bloodstream, and then from your bloodstream to a proportional distribution, some of it to your hair and some of it to the white of your eye and some of it to your tendons and some of it to your nails and some of it to your knees and some of it to your sweat glands and some of it to your skin? And who did that? All you did was a short middle phase, which is to pick up the bread. How kind has Allah been to you, dear brothers and sisters? What ijmal, good treatment, is there that cannot be sourced back to Him subhanahu wa ta'ala? Then look at the oxygen that you are inhaling right now. It's about a pound a liter hospitals pay to supply their patients with oxygen. A pound a liter, you are inhaling 11,000 liters of air a day. And 550 liters of which is pure oxygen. So do the mathematics. If each liter is a pound and you're inhaling 550 of them each day, to get the bill for just one day's worth of oxygen, how much have you been inhaling? Then multiply that throughout the course of your life. Then multiply that by the human population, which is at present 7.9 billion human beings. Imagine if we were the ones who needed to take care of that bill. No, Allah has taken care of that bill. You inhale air free of charge. Just be a good Muslim. Just love the Creator. Then look into the water that we drink. H2O, two molecules of hydrogen, one molecule of oxygen. Subhanallah, the kindness of Allah is found in that cup of water. One of those molecules is an oxidizer, meaning it's a chemical that requires, that helps fuel burn. And the other one is highly flammable. In other words, if they wanted to do what they are predispositioned to do, one lighting of a candle would cause a worldwide inferno. But no, these molecules, they come together and it brings you water that you use to quench thirst and to put out fire. Is he not deserving of thanks and love? Look then into your mirror reflection, your anatomy, your brain, made up of 100 billion neurons. And each one of those neurons has 1,000 connections, bringing about around a trillion connections in the brain. Who did that? And for who and for what cause? And these neurons, they form these connections in order to increase our ability to memorize things, our storage capacity. And the brain apparently can store somewhere around 2.5 petabytes worth of data. A petabyte is a billion gigabytes. 2.5 billion gigabytes worth of data is what your brain can store. I mean, to get an idea of what that means, if your brain was to work like a digital video recorder, you would need around 300 million worth of 300 million hours worth of TV to use up that storage. So if your brain was on record continuously, that's 300 years worth of non-stop recording to use up the memory in your brain. Is he not worthy of love? Subhanahu wa ta'ala. He's given you no less than 600 muscles in your body. Each one of those muscles has an average of 10 million muscle fibers to make your movement easy. And then to regulate your body temperature, he hasn't given you one or two pores. He has given you 2 to 5 million sweat secreting glands. And then you look into your kidneys. Kidney weighs 150 grams. That's the average weight of a mobile phone. 150 grams. It doesn't do much. It only filters 1,800 liters of blood every single hour of your life. And each one of those kidneys is home to a million filtering systems. They call them nephrons. You want to know the ni'mah of this kidney, the blessing of this kidney? Look at those young and old who are at the dialysis unit, connected to these huge 150 kilograms, not 150 grams, 150 kilograms clunky machines, spending 12 hours a week to purify their blood from urine, right? And that's what you do in 20 seconds. They call it, I'm going for a drip. Sorry to use that expression. Because it's that quick. 20 seconds, they need 12 hours a week. Allah, is he not deserving of thanks and love and adoration? And then your blood. They say that per cubic millimeter of blood, per cubic millimeter, there is an average of 5 million red blood cells there. In other words, if you wanted to connect all of the red blood cells in a carpet fashion of one human body, you can cover the surface of the earth 6 to 7 times over. Who did all of that? That is Allah Jalla Jalalu. And that is so that he may be thanked and glorified and loved. All ijmal, good treatment, is sourced from him, subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then look at the way he documents good deeds and sins. You haven't hit the age of puberty? Don't worry, your sins will not be documented with me. And then, what about the good deeds we have done before the age of puberty? Don't worry, those will be upheld. Kareem, generous. The kafir, the non-Muslim who becomes a Muslim, all of his sins are erased. What about the good deeds he did when he was still a non-Muslim? They will be upheld. What about those sins we commit because of forgetfulness, or because of ignorance, or because of compulsion? None of them are written down. What about the good deeds you do as a Muslim, multiplied by 10 minimum, to 700 to many more folds? Is this not a law to be obsessed over and loved? So we said that there are two fundamental things that bring about love. Jamal, beauty, is one of them. We've just agreed that all beauty is sourced from Allah Jalla Jalaluhu. and you have ijmal, a good treatment, and every good treatment in your life comes from Allah Jalla Jalla. So he is worthy of all love. But I tell you this, these are not the only two reasons we love Allah. We love Allah unconditionally. Meaning, if you didn't know about his beauty and you felt that you had received no good treatment from him, he still deserves to be loved because of who he is. يُحَبُّ لِذَاتِهِ. And no one, not even the prophets, are loved for who they inherently are except Allah Jalla Jalalu. So we love him because of his unbreakable might, because of his unrivaled mercy, because of his unparalleled wealth, because of his limitless greatness. We love him because of who he is, even though you may have not experienced any of that. And that cannot happen. Our love for Allah, therefore, is unconditional. وَهُوَ يُحَبُّ لِذَاتِهِ. When is the time for Adhan? 7:54. طيب خلاص. So we will conclude in one more minute then. And I will tell you this, brothers and sisters. This is a key point to conclude this session. And that is, nobody can turn to another Muslim who is sinning and say, you don't love Allah. That is unfair. As Ahlul Sunnah, we believe that we love Allah Almighty with our sins. And the only one whom we can say has no love of Allah is either the kafir or the munafiq, the hypocrite. But there may be a Muslim who commits sins, and that's every one of us. And some of us committing major sins, and there is still the love of Allah Almighty. The asl of love, the foundation of love is there. But what is missing perhaps with the sinner is the completion of love. And that is why when a man came to the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and he had drank alcohol again, that's a major sin, and they were about to punish him for that, and one of the companions, he said, La'natullahi alayhi, may Allah curse you. How often will you drink alcohol? How often do you drink alcohol? What did the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam say? He said, La tal'anuhu, don't curse him. فَمَا عَلِمْتُهُ إِلَّا مُحِبًّا لِلَّهِ وَلَرَسُولِهِ. Don't curse him because I know that he loves Allah and his messenger. That's with his alcohol. He loves Allah and his messenger. So sins, even the major ones, they don't negate the asl, the presence of love. It's there. What do they negate? Ah, Shabab, Omar, what do they negate? The perfection of love. And this is what we are aspiring towards. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to perfect our love for him. وصلى الله على نبينا محمد والحمد لله رب العالمين.